I hear talk a little Mets and Yankees with us. You catch them on SNY these days. Teammate of Gary's for years. Peter Boddy joins us here on The Fan. Pete, Jody McDonald, Gary Myers here. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing? Before we get started, I would like to add into the to this discussion you guys were having about TV theme songs.
Yes.
There's a lot of them out there. If you want to go back to the old days, I would jump in with the Addams Family. I think that's one of the more
memorable
ones.
That was a good one.
Cheers is also a big one, and probably for the younger crowd, like my kids, and I know your kids, probably the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is probably
that's
one of the
true.
most famous openings.
Pete, where would you put Friends in there?
Yeah, I mean, Friends would probably be up there for that, you know, for the 90s and early 2000s generation. It's definitely a song that's hard to get out of your head.
If you go to any bar and bat mitzvahs, that's all they play.
Really?
Well, thankfully, I'm past that stage now.
Okay.
But everyone you'd be at, you know, at some point, the bar bat mitzvah kid would want to have Friends played, and all the kids would get together and do their thing, you know. So
okay. A couple of years ago, I would tend to think. Pete, let me ask you about Jacob DeGrom winning the Cy Young. Certainly he earned it and deserved it. A lot is being made post-fact about the fact that baseball writers have finally decided that the wins are an irrelevant stat. I don't buy that. It just needs to be kept in its proper perspective. It's not as important as ERA. ERA, to me, is the most important pitching stat. Take all the newfangled sabermetrics and analytics you want to use. It still comes back to ERA, and the two Cy Young Award winners were the two ERA titleists. End of discussion. Why does it need to be any more than that?
Right, and I've definitely shifted gears over the years, and I believe that wins are definitely devalued. And I think it's especially because pitchers don't, you know, in the old days, pitchers pitched nine innings, or you expected them to go deep into the games, and they didn't have bullpens blowing games for them and burning wins on for them and things like that. I 100% believe DeGrom should have been the Cy Young Award. But I also believe the hullabaloo over him not being unanimous and the writer from San Diego, John Maffei. Was it egregious? Yeah, probably. But was it as egregious as, say, Shohei Ohtani beating Andujar for the Rookie of the Year? I mean, you know, you can make a case that was a more egregious mistake by the baseball writers. But to be perfectly honest, I would have voted for Ohtani for Rookie of the Year, but I think you could be more up in arms over that than over the DeGrom thing. I still feel like wins have some value. I don't think they're. I've seen people saying wins should be eradicated from all stats, from a stat line for the pitcher. It's completely irrelevant. I don't find it completely irrelevant, but I do believe there are other now. Clearly, there are metrics that better gauge the kind of season that a pitcher's having than merely wins.
And the ERA is the number one, and one else can convince me of anything else. But you made a good point, which lends me into my next question, about Ohtani winning the Rookie of the Year, which I didn't think was outrageous. There's an argument to be made for. But here's what I don't understand, and I know different guys vote for different awards, so it's not the same exact group voting for both. How does Ohtani win Rookie of the Year where he's a designated hitter? I know he pitched, and he pitched okay, had some good pitching games, but then the arm issue shut him down for the rest of the year. He won the award, basically, because of his home run stylings as a designated hitter. But J.D. Martinez can finish no better than fourth in the American League as the MVP because he's a designated hitter. Well, is it okay to be DH and win an award or not? Which one is it?
Well, I guess if you're pitching, in addition to being a DH, I guess that has some sort of factor. And obviously that was the uniqueness of Ohtani was really the factor. I understand people are upset that he didn't make it through the whole season. And, you know, and Andujar was productive for the Yankees throughout and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, I actually thought J.D. Martinez was going to finish a bit higher. I mean, obviously, I believe Mookie Betts clearly was the MVP this year. I would have probably voted Martinez maybe even second, but probably no lower than third. Obviously, you know, your WAR is going to be higher, things like that. If you're playing defensively as well, so DHs are going to get dropped down a couple of pegs in that regard. But Martinez to me really changed that Red Sox lineup. Their approach, their the depth of that lineup. His signing was as important as anything, even though I also would have voted Betts easily MVP in the American League.
Peter, there's been some talk the last couple of days with some comments that Jeff Wilpon made. If the Mets get overwhelmed in offers for Syndergaard, that would be something they would consider. My feeling is the strength of the Mets obviously is in their pitching. Everybody needs pitching. So if you have three really solid starters like DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Wheeler, and maybe Mats will finally come around, you don't trade away your strength. You can buy bats. Where do you stand on that? Would you think it would be in the Mets' best interest if they get a good offer for Syndergaard to break up that rotation if they get an everyday player?
I mean, I guess the word that Jeff Wilpon used yesterday was lopsided, right? Lopsided offer to pull that trigger. Look, if they're going for it with this, if they want to build around this pitching staff and they feel like they can contend right away, which I still have my doubts, I think they have a lot of work to do to accomplish that, then I would hold on to Syndergaard. I do believe if somehow now, I don't believe the stuff about, say, Chris Bryant, things like that, but if you were going to get an everyday player, an MVP-type player in his mid to late 20s, I think you'd have to consider doing that. For me, trading Syndergaard for a couple of prospects right now doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if you think that if you want to re-sign DeGrom and you want to build around the pitching staff, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
But do you think that they could get more than just a couple of good prospects and potentially pull off a deal like Wilpon described, lopsided?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think Syndergaard has pretty good value around baseball, but he has dealt with a couple of injuries the last couple of years. So we'll see. I mean, I'd be really interested to see at the winter meetings if the Mets really kind of make it known that Syndergaard is available, what type of everyday players they could get in a package, in a deal involving Syndergaard.
What kind of deal do you think the Yankees can make for Sonny Gray?
It's funny, right? I mean, the Reds ended up being the landing spot for Harvey, and then they could also end up being the landing spot for Sonny Gray. I think the Yankees, I think Cashman has made clear that he's just willing to move. He's just looking at this point to move on from Sonny Gray. It clearly didn't work. And that's one thing that Cashman's been good at over the years, kind of cutting his losses when a player doesn't work out in New York. I believe Gray probably has some intrigue and value around baseball only because he does have good stuff. We have seen it. It's just some guys just, aren't able to pitch under that sort of, under the sort of scenario that it requires to be in New York. Maybe he goes back to Oakland or a city like Cincinnati and finds his game again, but it clearly wasn't working here.
Peter, I find it so interesting that in football free agency, the big names sign within they pretty much agree to terms in that 48-hour tampering period, and as soon as
don't think for a second that baseball writers don't notice that the other sports, the free agency period is basically over in 2 days.
Oh my goodness! I mean, why do you think that is? Why wouldn't say a team that's interested in Machado or Harper? Why wouldn't they want to take a major step forward, be aggressive, and lock one of them up? Or is it the agent who's going to say, I want to wait for a bidding war to start? Do you think the teams are ready to make these moves and the agents are backing off, or is it neither one of them wants to be first?
I mean, we see it every year now, Gary, that it's like this long waiting out period of when the first domino falls, then you'll start seeing other guys sign. But sometimes now it goes past the winter meetings. It goes into January, and look what we saw last year. There were big-name players who were unsigned going into right around the start of spring training and didn't have jobs as spring training opened. So now you get these teams that everyone's kind of feeling each other out and waiting and seeing what other moves are made and who else becomes available on either the trade market or the non-tender market. And it's weird to me because you're right. In the other sports, in the other three major sports, baseball is not the same as football, hockey, and the NBA, in which the signings are made, the clock strikes midnight, and all of a sudden you see player after player coming off the board for major money, and it just doesn't happen in baseball. It hasn't happened. It's in the 20-plus years that I've been covering baseball, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, the aforementioned J.D. Martinez didn't sign till after the Red Sox were already in Florida for spring training.
Correct.
Last year, and turned out
right
to be a key element to them winning the whole
and
thing.
In 2000, it's funny, in 2009, Rex's first year when Bart Scott was a free agent, Rex and Dennis Thurman, and I think Mike Pettine, who was the defensive coordinator then, and they were all from Baltimore, and they all knew Bart from the Ravens. They go down, and they're in his driveway at midnight as soon as free agency starts, and there's a German Shepherd in the garage that they all think is going to take off their leg. but they were risking that and going down there as soon as the clock struck 12 to try to get Bart Scott. And now you have generational players like Machado and Harper who've been out there now for a couple of weeks. And other than the Nationals making an offer to Harper before the season was over, it's been quiet.
That being said, yeah. Pete, do you think we get one of the two big ones done by the winter meetings?
I mean, that would be great. I would think so. I would hope so. But as we've seen the last few years, guys have stretched, into Christmas and past Christmas and into the following, past the new year. So there's really no way of knowing. I mean, I'm really interested because it sounds like the Phillies want to be aggressive and sign one or the other. And so I wonder if they go hard at either or both players and try to sign one of them at the winter meetings. That would seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Peter, great stuff. Appreciate you hopping on board. Thanks, bud.
Of course, guys. Anytime.